in this 5 o'clock hour by going to Boston and connecting with Rich Levine of Comcast Sportsnet New England. Rich, good afternoon.
How's it going, Rich?
Doing great. Everybody's happy in Boston. All's right with the world. There can't be any concerns of sports fans, are there?
Yeah, I know. The Sox are making you long for the days of the Flakey.
My word, what a dreadful mess this is. And I know the nature of the beast with the Red Sox fans is to, of course, panic and look for wild moves. But I don't see this team making any big decisions like firing a manager or a general manager anytime soon. Do you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think so. I just think it's easier for, especially, so who would be making that decision? You know, I guess we assume, and that's the weird thing about this team, that we really don't know. Like who ultimately, I mean, if it was Farrell, I guess it would be, you know, a combination of maybe Charrington and Lucchino, but, you know, when it comes to Charrington, we don't know if Charrington has just been carrying out exactly what Larry Lucchino wants him to do, in which case, it would be sort of a weird move to fire him. But, yeah, no, I agree. I think that they, I don't think they're going to do anything drastic. And then you look at the other side, which would be to, you know, potentially, you know, make a move for like the Cole Hamels, right? You know, make a move that would, you know, improve the team as opposed to blowing it up. But you're at the point when you look at the standings, you see how the team has performed so far. Like, are you gonna risk those prospects for the chance that one starting pitcher is potentially going to turn them around? I don't think so. Yeah, so I think kind of just hold your breath and hope that this team, who at different points in the season, you know, certainly young season, they've shown little flashes here and there and never put it all together, but it's just kind of hope that they can do that.
Well, we were making some parallels earlier in the show to this team and the Bruins team this year that, yeah, maybe management doesn't want to risk the future for a team that, even if they get a couple of veteran guys, a couple of trades, maybe still isn't designed to make a deep playoff run.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense too. I mean, it's like you have a team, you have two rosters where, you know, you got some carryover. I mean, if you want to go to, you know, the Pedroia and Ortiz route, I mean, they're left over from a whole different era. But, you know, you have some guys left over from that World Series who still, you know, have that sort of championship mentality and you know, played at a time where, you know, that was not only the expectation, but really like a realistic expectation. But now that, yeah, they're sort of stuck in between. Like, you know, in my mind, I see, you know, a guy like Xander Bogaerts, right? I mean, he certainly hasn't, you know, I guess, I don't know if mature is the word, but hasn't, you know, produced as quickly as they thought, at the level that they thought. But at the same time, it's just like, you know, so a couple weeks ago, he was in the fifth spot, right, for a couple of games. And he did really, really well. It was one of those times where everyone's like, oh, okay, Xander's finally figuring it out. And then, you know, the next day he was in the sixth spot. The next day he was in the seventh spot. And then I think the next day he was hit by a pitch in the hand. He's totally out of whack. So it's like they're in this like in between spot where it's like, okay, we have the payroll and we have the names that we should be, you know, full on. You know, we're playing for the title every single day. But then you have these young guys who, if you just put the, you know, give them, you know, I'm not saying that you hit him fifth, but, you know, you got Bogaerts put like bat him second. Maybe you want these young kids to develop into stars. I think you're at a point where it'd be nice if you could just start treating them like stars and give them that opportunity, as opposed to, you know, having to fall back on these, you know, veterans who on paper are supposed to take you somewhere that they just aren't taking you.
Well, absolutely. Hey, let's talk a little basketball. Kevin Love has apparently patched things up with Kelly Olynyk, and that's a nice thing. I don't think they'll be going out to dinner anytime soon. But does this have any bearing on influencing or increasing the possibilities of him coming to Boston at some point in the future?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, I think the chances now, knowing that apparently, you know, he doesn't, you know, hate Kelly Olynyk's guts. I mean, I think if it ever came down to it, I mean, I'm thinking that if that really was an issue, so you assume that at some point over the summer, you know, Danny talks to Kevin Love's people, and it comes out that, yeah, you know what, he just can't even bear to share a locker room with Kelly Olynyk. That's just not going to happen. If that was the case, I imagine that Kelly Olynyk would be traded. You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
I don't know
if
them actually, you know, being whatever. We don't even want to call them friends, but, you know, not acquaintances, let's say. That makes it nice, but I don't know if that's going to be the make or break point. I'd like to think that there's still a possibility. I don't think that love is going to, you know, just come to the Celtics, you know, as they are. You know, I think there have to be a little bit of, you know, like you said, that it came out after the Miami big three got together, that LeBron and Dwayne Wade had been recruiting LeBron for a long time, and they had sort of known all along that the three of them were going to kind of match up. So if you can get something like that going with Kevin Love, where, you know, hey, we're going to get this guy, and, you know, so it's not just him coming by himself, maybe that's a possibility. But, yeah, it's going to take a lot more than him returning Kelly Olynyk's text message, I think.
What do you think Danny Ainge has cooking? Do you think he'll be able to pull the trigger on anything prior to the draft?
Yeah, you know, he has everything cooking. You know what I mean? I think Danny is – you're in a spot, like we've been saying, you know, sort of since the KG and Paul deal, where they are in a good spot to make something happen if the opportunity arises. But, you know, it's going to take, you know, the opportunity arising. Like he says over and over, you know, it takes two to make a deal. So I think that they as always, they're looking at every single option. They're going to look to trade up. They're going to look to trade down. They're going to, you know, look to, and I don't know, you know, I guess if you're looking to trade for somebody, you know, I imagine if you're going to, you know, make a trade for like a DeMarcus Cousins, it would have to be, you know, a team like the Kings, who are at the point where, you know, they're probably willing to accept, you know, a lot of future draft picks, because the Celtics certainly don't have a lot of, you know, game ready talent that's going to blow anyone over for DeMarcus Cousins. But it stinks, because it's like, you know, it'd be nice to know what the plan is, and I don't want to suggest that Ainge doesn't have a plan. I just think that, you know, they're in a good spot. And I think the worst thing that they can do, and I've seen this a couple times, different people have written it, just that, like, you know, the Celtics should make an offer to every possible free agent. You know what I mean? That, like, you know, they need to get someone to come, and then you go from there. So just, it doesn't matter who it is. Just if they're a decent free agent, offer them the world, and that's the worst thing that they can do, I think. You know, the worst thing to do is to build a team, feel like you have to spend this money right now, and build a team that has a ceiling that is like somewhere around like the fourth or the fifth seed. You know, I think they're in a spot right now. You got Brad Stevens, you have an amazing coach, you got a nice young nucleus, you got all the draft picks, and you got a decent cap, and you have a GM who's not going to make a stupid move and blow that, hopefully. So, you know, I think, you know, patience is kind of what it comes down to, but you never know when the Oklahoma City is going to decide to trade James Harden.
Right.
You know, a week before the season starts, like what happened with Houston. NBA is a crazy place, and when the craziness kicks in, I think Danny's going to be ready to move.
Rich Levine, Comcast Sportsnet New England with us. I love this matchup in the NBA Finals. What do you think? Can LeBron put this group on his shoulders for four more games?
Yeah, you know, if Draymond Green didn't exist, I would feel a lot better, and it's too bad, because it's like, If you're going to see this matchup, if the Celtics are going to be so far removed, it would be really cool to see Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving both healthy and ready to go at it. And I guess this is going to be, you know, it's kind of a cool test of, you know, how great LeBron is, and we know he's great, and we know that, like, he's sort of starting to carve out his own path now. He sort of said, hey, I'm not going to be Michael Jordan. You know, I just want to get one ring for Cleveland, you know. Did he do it? God, I don't know. Like I said, I think Draymond Green might just be too good defensively. Not so good that he can stop LeBron, but so good that he can just make it hard enough on him that over the course of, you know, 5-6 games, I just don't know if he can do it. Especially since he's had to carry them. I mean, Kyrie had one or two really great games against the Celtics. Other than that, LeBron's really carried them for the extent of the postseason. So, you know, after the long road, and who knows what happens with Klay Thompson. I guess that's sort of a one wild card. If his head isn't quite right and isn't going to be able to be the guy that he is, that's something that helps Cleveland. But, listen, if LeBron can do it, you know, all the credit to him. He's
that would be unbelievable. But I'd have to pick Golden State.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that. Rich Levine, Comcast Sportsnet New England. Rich, always fun talking with you. Thanks for making time for us, and we'll do it again before too long.
All right, take care, Rich.
16 after 5 o'clock downtown. Our Boston Insiders.